Hey, Mariah. Thanks so much for coming to my boat.
Hi, Mom. Yeah, this is cute. This boat's so cute, Mom. It's like,
isn't it cute?
Yeah. I just, oh, wait. Click, 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 click. Oh, Mom, can't turn on the light.
Yeah, the power went out this morning. Happens a lot, actually. Yeah, about every other day. If I want to run the toaster oven, that's my main conveyance for eating. If I want to run the toaster oven, I have to unplug the air conditioner and then unplug the hair curlers and then strangely plug in the ham radio that I have. I love talking to truckers.
I'll take some coffee.
What do you mean? See this plug? It's completely burned because I bought a really good boat. I could make some coffee by turning on, no power for a hot plate. I guess I could harvest the heat of the sun. No, it's going to take too long. How about I do this?
What?
How about I start some charcoal that'll only take 30 minutes? Then I'll put it on the grill and I'll heat up water that way. I'll boil the water for the coffee and it'll be great. It's only going to be in about an hour and a half. Great. Sound good? The boat life is great. It's convenient. I howled this whole Kim convincing us that her life is normal on the USS Minnow.
USS Lemon. Stupid, but I mean,
I guess I could heat up some water on the charcoal.
Do y'all know how long it takes to use charcoal to heat up?
I'm sure she would just pour like a whole thing of lighter fluid.
Probably.
She said that with a straight fucking face.
She did.
I think she expected, and Mariah's like, no, okay.
This is Welcome to Plathville, Season 6, Episode 5. How do I get Riz? How do I get Riz?
How do I get Riz? He makes me physically ill to think about him dating. Ugh.
Yeah.
Barf.
Yeah. I'm not.
And it's so gross now that he's gotten like worked out and he can't even like put his shoulders down because he's got them overly worked out. I hate Barry and I hate Kim.
He's not great. They're not great.
I will say there's something about Kim that fascinates me. There's something about Kim Plath that it's her refusal to kind of like paint herself and to think about herself in a certain way and her refusal to see what's right in front of her face that I'm fascinated by.
A lot of people are bothered her because there's a lot of people they feel like in the world right now doing that, whether it's climate change or things like that, people refusing to see. So, but yes, I'm fascinated by her as well, except for when she walks around barefoot in public bathrooms or just barefoot in general.
How was the makeup check this time? She's still going. Yeah.
It's not great.
I noticed a little more cat. It's like she's going for cat eye on the upper lids now.
It really is. I've mentioned her before, and I remember the name. It's Erica Taylor, who's a makeup artist that I love on Instagram, who talks about makeup for women that are maturing. Big fan. Kim's never looked at her Instagram videos. Would love for Mariah or someone to send her mom some of those tips.
Mariah needs that work. She's 22.
Lydia kind of doesn't. Lydia does better.
Her makeup style has softened.
She doesn't put so much blush on and she doesn't put so much foundation on her skin.
I thought Lydia actually looked really good.
Yeah. And Mercy's got a light touch to her face.
Yeah. Amber's still piling it on.
Yeah.
She's going to slut it up just like her sister.
Y'all, if you are not listening to Love is Blind UK, we won't go into it that much. But if you are not listening to it, you get it on this tier. Why not?
It is so good. It's
so wonderful.
People, I think I mentioned this. People said there's nothing that really happens yet. And it's just like, it's a little bit of a throwback to older seasons. Mm-hmm. They're just not as dramatic as Americans, but they have, mm-hmm. the problems are there. Don't get us wrong. It's just, they're just a lot more polite about it and a little bit more direct in a way.
Yes, yes. A little bit more, and it actually feels like
more thoughtful.
Real problems that people have in relationships. Yeah.
The casting has been wonderful.
Again,
I approve of all of it. They didn't ask me, but
yes.
No one ever asks me.
Well, doesn't stop you from telling them.
Nope, it won't.
All right, everybody. So be sure to check that out. Love After Lockup is on this tier too, so you can listen to that as well. And let's jump into Plathville. First of all, a little bit. We see the girls doing Taekwondo, and basically Kim's like, and they're with Kim, and Mike is like, it was kind of weird at Kim at first, but now I'm getting used to it, and the teacher is hot.
I wrote that down too. Jason, the teacher.
Jason, really hot.
How we start is Amber's like, yeah, the girl, mom mismatched shoes. I guess it's hard to find things in the boat.
She's like, yeah, this happens a lot.
Keep looking in the port side when it's in the starboard.
We leave something over there.
Because she doesn't know which is which. So, Amber is teaching gymnastics. She's getting her permit soon. She's becoming an adult. One thing, what was interesting that Micah said in this scene, because Micah's hanging out with Ken, and Ken doesn't say a lot. When he does, it's mostly jokes, dad jokes. Yeah. Micah's like, yeah, I'm glad. He says it, and it sounds like I'm listening to the words he's saying, but it doesn't really mm-hmm. sound like the way he feels. He's like, mm-hmm. I'm glad my sisters get to do all these things outside the house that I never got to do growing up. Wonder what I could do right now if I would have done that. Maybe I could have been a professional athlete. I think he could have.
Probably.
He's very talented.
He's very talented. Next.
Body things.
I bet he strokes good.
Oh, I'd pay to watch that. So,
not that I wouldn't either, but it was just the way you said it.
I'd pay to watch that.
Mm. Boy, it just sounded like
like flicked a cigarette.
Yeah. You sounded like that woman in Beetlejuice that smokes and it comes out her neck.
I'd pay to watch that. Mm.
So, but he didn't get to do any of this. And Kim's like, well, I couldn't carry around the kids. There were so many.
I'd have loved to have given my children everything. Again, y'all, it's the Kim Plath refurbishing tour.
Yep.
Refurbishing representation. And she said, Micah didn't get Taekwondo lessons, but the girls didn't get to grow up in a farm and all of that. And I think they got a lot of things. And I would have never been able to take all those kids places.
Well, you know what? I wonder if she had trauma and was scared to drive.
Hmm.
Seriously.
Maybe.
I mean, after you like... Run over your child, you're probably scared. Like, how do you not think about that every time you back up?
I think, Barry was we all know, Barry was a completely absent parent.
Yes.
It's not that Kim did a lot either, but Barry did nothing. I'm sure Kim probably had to raise the older kids. And as soon as the older kids were there, it was basically, she probably stopped at Lydia, I think.
I think so, yeah, because she had Hosanna and then Ethan.
Yeah, and I think Lydia was probably the last one she had any hands on. And then the older kids, mostly Lydia, Mariah, not Mariah.
And maybe Hosanna did some of the raising?
Maybe.
We don't know.
We don't know that bitch. She's never still in like a religious parts of things. She's still playing her violin. But great. She says, y'all, it's never her fault. She tried her best.
She tried her best.
And Micah says he's getting used to Ken. So we'll see.
Great. Who gives a shit?
A truly stomach churning scene happens next with Barry and Micah. when they're looking at the one of the rental properties that he's probably going to move into, and he's trying to say, you know, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out my next move with this divorce.
He's like, I would love to move in this house if I had my way, but I have to wait for the agreement because it's not signed. Did you notice how he hit those words?
His absolute hate and disdain for her oozes out of his pores.
Yes, and I think I was right. He wants to give her nothing.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to give her nothing, even though she raised these kids so he could do this business.
I guarantee y'all, this was a disgustingly nasty divorce.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I would give anything to talk to the attorney who handled this. And they probably had to take a year off.
Probably. Probably.
So, I wrote down, I like Micah with scruff better than him clean shaven.
I don't.
It feels better. You like him? It's like a little boy face. Very Bruce Weber.
Yeah, it's more Bruce Weber, though. Yeah. But yeah, I get that.
He's he's doing his own fencing company and landscaping. And he's talking about he's been together with that girl for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
They got to know each other. They're talking on the phone. It was long distance.
The producer even said, are we going to see her?
Possibly. He's like, you know what? I was thinking of my parents. They basically did courting is to approach. So
go in court, go in court. Oh, it sets your senses in a whirl.
We have a song. And maybe it was the South. It was like, Froggy went a courtin' and he did right on. You know that? Froggy went a courtin' and he did right on.
Froggy went a courtin' and he did right on.
I don't know the other words. Froggy went a courtin' and he did right on. Means a frog going out to fuck somebody. So.
Pussy.
Frog pussy. So. But I think they just fucked the frog and it's cloaca.
All right.
That's for those of you who saw our Little Mermaid sketch on live shows, the cloaca was used.
Yes. Yes, it was used
so often. There he's talking about courting and he's like, was that the right way? Because they ended up with divorce. And he even says, this actually made me a little sad. He said, I'm worried about settling down because I've been thinking about what if I still want to get into acting. And y'all, his gut is telling him it's too early to do this.
This is when Barry has these, I will say, Barry is more than Kim. He has these great moments of insight because he says, but there is hesitation in your voice.
There's hesitation
so therefore,
in your
maybe
voice.
Maybe you need to pursue it. Yeah. He's not telling you. I will say that is shocked. Normally, old
he's
ways
much
it would
better.
Be.
He's much better advice than Kim.
And
much
Micah
better.
Takes that in and goes, yeah. But so, and Micah starts asking, Barry, do you see yourself dating? He said, oh, I've never experienced a DM.
I don't know what a DM is. I've had a bunch of BMs with prunes.
But he
no
says,
one has
ever slid into my DMs.
Really?
No one has ever. Like on Facebook a little bit. Someone sent me a naked picture on my birthday. I'm like, what am I supposed to do with that?
I've had our audience isn't really, you mean through the podcast?
No, but I just mean like on social media, people see you and all that. No one's ever slid in my DMs. I don't know what I would do.
I had like a couple people. But just
even on your Jake It or Fake It,
yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
You never post there, but that's how people follow
I know.
You.
Yeah,
wow,
yeah,
God, you're that slutty. It even translates to social media.
Or people have found me like on people have seen me on apps and messaged me on Insta.
Oh, is your Insta connected to your apps? Oh. Yeah. I'm scared to do that because then I don't want to listen
to
a podcast.
I used to be too. No, only in my personal one. It's not connected to the reality gaze.
I know, but mine so much is because I use it.
Yeah, I promote our stuff. I rarely touch my own Insta.
Maybe I need a Finsta.
I think that's a bad idea. Finsta is
a fake Instagram.
Yeah, I think most people know what that is.
Okay,
yeah.
I did.
We need to move on. So, Mike is like, I know a lot of people are slipping in my DMs wanting me to set you up. That is not true. That is not true.
Look, there are some people in the world that probably want to get banged by Barry Plath.
Jesus. Anyway, he's like, I would know what to put on a dating profile. Can you imagine Barry and his Hinge profile? Hip dad. Couple years of wear, but still a lot of stuff going on upstairs. I know my ABC's down. Ha ha. Get it? Oh.
Adventurous, brave, and creative.
No, you're not.
What would you Gross. Think the ABCs mean for Barry Plath's profile?
Was that what he said? Adventurous, yeah, brave?
Adventurous, brave,
I didn't even
creative.
Get that. I thought he was just saying the ABCs.
No,
he said that,
no, he's like, that's his ABCs, his acronym. Oh. What would you think the acronym for his ABCs should be?
Alopecia, brain dead. Chronically annoying.
I did not expect alopecia, but that is correct.
Yeah. I want someone who makes me laugh and maybe someone athletic. Translation, young and hot.
Mike is like, hey, I never thought of dad dating, but you know, he's good looking and quirky.
You could Google Riz, and then we have to talk about Riz and sick and all the things. The kids say dope anymore.
But I want someone athletic who makes me laugh and who will break my dick off with their vagina like your mother never did.
That's what I just said. The athletic means young.
It does. Someone younger. Yeah, it means young. Doll Barry Plath is going to, and probably, do you think he'll date a younger woman and start having kids again?
Yep. Half his age. Probably, whoa. I think the oldest he would date would probably be 35.
All right, let's jump into Ethan and Olivia because my stomach's turning now.
Okay, y'all.
This was, again, I know we say this jokingly. This was actually a riveting segment of this. Well, first off, Mariah and Lydia come over to see Ethan and visit him.
Of course, Mariah spilled her coffee all over her outfit. And she says, when my outfit is ruined, my day is ruined.
And then, as always, they don't have coffee. And Ethan was like, I want coffee. And Mariah was like, yeah, coffee sounds good. And then they turn and look at Lydia. And Lydia goes,
says, I'll go get coffee.
Go, we don't want you here. You're useless.
Did you see her come back later? And she's like stacking them. She doesn't even have a carrier.
We can talk better when you're not here, Lydia. That was ridiculous. Poor Lydia just wanted to be in a scene. And they wouldn't even let her do it.
Mariah says, she's like, I think I'm going to go to school and be a magician.
I thought this was a lead up to a joke.
It was, but Ethan,
it got really dark. And he's like, Ethan, what do you want to do? Disappear? And then he took it further. He's like, I want to disappear. And Mariah's like,
oh, that wasn't where I was going, but
I feel like
the
sling blade is just how he says everything right now in his life.
I won't disappear. It's like that song.
Yeah, because like they're looking and there's and Mariah's like, oh, I like your plant.
Lots of shit happens to you and then you die.
Oh, that plant is cute.
Everyone forgets you. Anyway, so he
those plants were Olivia's plants.
So Mariah tells Ethan about the conversation she had with Olivia, and he's like, yeah, that's fine. That's you can tell he's trying to distance himself from it because it's just like he's realizing it's not really helping to do that. And Ethan's kind of looking around and he's like, it's a cute apartment, but I don't like it anymore because we lived here.
I'll be out of this place in a month.
And then you hear like scratching on the door.
Yeah.
And hi, he's like, someone let me in. I've been out here for 2 hours.
100%. 100%.
Can I come in now? Have you talked? Have you talked about
this coffee's burning my hands?
Have you talked about feelings enough? You know, I don't like feelings.
You know what? I bet that they probably don't have Lydia too in a lot of these conversations because she'll just say, "Well, you know, Ethan, I always give it to the higher power and let him take care of it."
She's useless.
She puts her hand on his shoulder and suddenly she's like, "God, watch over the plants. Help us not disappear in your light, your light."
I got to say this. If you've ever tried to have a conversation with someone who's extremely evangelical and you're just having a problem.
You can't get
anywhere. You're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to get any comfort.
You're not going to get any solution.
Say, no. It's going to be like, well, God's got this. God's got this. So anything you can say of how can I process this emotionally? Well, you know, just give it to God. It's a very frustrating experience. I'm sure some of you have either family or friends. You just try to all you're wanting is just someone to listen, not solve your problem, put a God Band-Aid on it. It's very frustrating. I have a couple of friends like that. And sometimes my parents will even throw something like that in. And I'm like,
I'm sure that goes well.
Yeah. I just go, yeah, he's fine. Yeah, God's doing great right now. Jaybird, don't say that. God's got so much to do. She doesn't do it that very often. She'll say it when there's no recourse.
Even like more than her. If people say it too when they don't know what to say.
Yes, that's usually when it happens. Like when my mom was talking about.
Usually when they're uncomfortable with your feelings.
Yes, when my mom will talk about her brother and my uncle who's not doing very well. And she was still telling me like an incident that was happening. And he said, for some reason, it's just like the saddest story. She's like, we were sitting there in the hospital and I told him he'd breathe better. And he looked at me and said, Mother Poodle, I'm not going to say her name. Said, we had a hard childhood, but we were there for each other. But I guess God's got this. And I was like, God damn it.
It's a lot. AA has taken it in a different way and like higher power and kind of letting we don't need to get into this conversation, but there's, well, yes, I think the way you described it well, kind of how it's used as a scapegoating tactic and not where it does have some help for people in different context. But who gives a shit? Let's get back to Lydia. Lydia has coffee and then I think they pretty much leave.
They
after
leave.
That, right?
They say we're going to the airport, and Ethan says I'm dreading to talk to Olivia because she's packing up her stuff. She even said you don't be here for that long. So she's looking at stuff, y'all.
He's gone. And, she's going through stuff.
She's like, all these wounds are being torn open again, and he still hasn't signed papers. And she even said, and this was kind of amazing. She said, I didn't know. When I was in LA and he kept thinking I would change my mind and come back.
Yeah.
Because y'all, Ethan hasn't been taught to read emotional cues because he wasn't raised to have emotions.
That's true. That's true.
That's how cruel his parents were.
Yeah.
And he comes in and he's silent. And this
Olivia
is,
says, he said he was done. And when he said he was done, this comes back later. She's like, I believed him. So anyway, go ahead.
Ethan comes in very silent. And so they're just talking about, do you want to keep this? Pictures, blah, blah, blah. She doesn't want anything.
Oh, his face. When because he said, do you want these pictures?
She's like, nope.
Or she said, what about anything like these pictures? Do you want these? And he said, yes. And he said, do you? She said, no. And he went, I knew it.
I knew it. That kind of sliced me open.
I knew it.
And she's like, I know it. When she cuts someone out of her life, she doesn't look back. If she can cut out her own family, what chance do I have?
That statement pissed me off and really was an unfair. I understand why he said it based off of his kind of close-mindedness about this. But I went, why that pissed me off? Because you say that like this was an easy thing for her of this process of her of becoming and trying to be her own person. and all the pain and work she went.
Yeah, it negates cut off her work.
Yeah. She cut people. Olivia's nuts. Not true. She doesn't cut off people that I don't think she's going to maybe completely cut Mariah off after their talk. They'll probably be civil to one another. But yes, she cut her family out and she's cutting you out because you are failing to change at all to understand her and adapt to her and compromise. I think
what he's trying to say is
fuck off.
She's putting up boundaries and the Plath family doesn't know how to have boundaries.
Well,
because you can't create a boundary with your family because that's all you have, because that's all, how you've been ingratiated to think.
Only God made them boundaries. That's why he put the Red River so that way he can make Oklahoma and Texas, Matt, to you.
That's what God does. So I think he said, he even says, why do I feel like you can move on so quickly? Is it a front you put on? I feel like you don't care and it infuriates me. I thought this was actually helpful because he was expressing how he felt in that moment. Because he doesn't ever do it.
He doesn't understand because what she's done, it's called fucking therapy. It's called she did the fucking work. It's accepting that she can't do this on her own. And which is
I think
he has no concept of that.
What I think bothers him more is what she has gone into this saying, I need to do this with less crying for me, because that's something for her. Because later on, she's crying when she sees the pictures. I think if Ethan would have seen that, I think he would not have reacted that way. That was all he was trying to see.
I still think he would have saw that and thought, well, then, because it, again, he looks at his emotions as a child, good, bad, sad, angry, or happy, sad. Yeah. And so he probably goes, oh, wait, you're crying. That means you're sad. Oh. That means you want to be together. I think he would think that.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. I feel like she had to kind of steel herself. And I do think it was a little bit of a front. That she was.
Oh, she did that. Yeah, he needs to watch Brené Brown's Atlas of the Heart.
He's not going to do that.
He wouldn't listen to a woman.
No,
maybe Joyce Meyer, and that's about it. And he probably thinks she's too liberal.
Anyway, that's true. Joyce Meyer. She says it's frustrating. He says I'm. She's like, who says it was easy? Because it wasn't easy. He said, I feel stuck and I can't do anything about it. And she said, I don't think Ethan understands. It's been like a few years of watching this relationship die and saving it and not being able to, and then accepting it and moving on. And even then, it's 9 months and we said we were done. And she's like, I was just hoping he was going to work through things, and he hasn't.
He hasn't moved an inch.
Yeah. And
he got drunk and wrote his fucking country song.
Yeah. And Ethan says, did I tell you that morning that I unloaded on you? I didn't think that would be the end, because they'd had a lot of other fights like that. And that's when she said, I finally took your words at face value. One thing about Olivia that I wish she did not say is she says, it wasn't a healthy relationship, but I can say that I tried. I don't think that's helpful to say right there with him.
No, because he's not going to understand it. Because he literally said, but it could have been. How? Could it have been?
It's even? Also implying I tried and you didn't try. And I think that's her trying to rewrite that history for herself. And maybe she thinks she has to.
Maybe. And she said, but she made a good point. She's like, this is what we do. She's like, we start talking, but then he puts his head in the sand or under the hood of the car and then wonders
that's exactly
why
what
it
happens.
Falls apart. Because I have to say, she probably, that wasn't a healthy relationship. It was probably a little hurtful for him. But at the same time, I think I'm like, I can't imagine, like when I break up with someone, it's done. It's quick. They're out. What, you're that way too, like you kind of end the relationship and move on. Can you imagine this is like a 9 month, almost year drag out thing because this person just, I know Ethan was raised in a horrible circumstance, but my empathy for him acting like an emotional child, I'm done with it. I'm just so exhausted.
Yeah.
So how does she feel?
Yeah. And y'all, he can't deal with it. He has to leave again. And because he can't watch her pick up things. And I agree with you. How much, how tired and resentful must she be at this point? Because I think I would be.
Oh, I would be a lot more bitchier than she was. Yeah, I would have said
you'd be awful.
Wasn't healthy because you didn't do jack shit. Or the Mar would come out.
Or I think I would be like Olivia was. I think I would be so aloof that I would just be like, it's better for me not even to engage this way.
That's actually probably more how I would be, with just a little bit of passive aggressive vinegar.
That's
but
healthy.
I really would. I wouldn't want them to see me blink.
So later on, she's packing and she's like, it's hard to see Ethan like this, but I spent years of my life like this. And I felt more alone in my relationship than I was when I was by myself.
Whoa. Whoa.
And she's looking at old pictures and crying. And I do wish. You said that he would think, oh, maybe we can get back together. I just think that would have been really nice for Ethan to see. Just the fact that that would have been a symbol that
I think it would have been nice for him to see, but then, it would get construed the wrong way. But I agree.
But she's looking back at the photos and this feeling I'm glad that she's moved on, but it was kind of, they were kids when they met and they had such kind of this innocent love and, you kind of got that they were so happy where they thought they were. And she's like, this is the car Ethan sold to buy my engagement ring, but I knew he loved it so much. I bought it back for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like, looking at a way of marriage like in the 30s or something, like when things were so much simpler, but it wasn't real. Mm-hmm. It wasn't real because they had both been raised in some type of, like, both of them in environments that were suffocating, and they didn't have any, and then they had to go out in the real world. And then this show came along.
If they were thrown a lot, I don't think they would have made it. Even if they were just sitting in Cairo, Georgia, they would have stayed together longer. But with all the changes of the show and everything, it really fast tracked, I think, things.
Ethan saying we grew up together. We gave it a good run, but not everything works. And it says at the very end of the clip, Ethan signed the papers the following day.
I want to say, though, that's when Ethan writes the letter. It's important to know.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I skipped ahead. I apologize.
But we say Ethan asked, again, this is why I get so frustrated. I'm sure Olivia is. He wanted to talk things out again.
Yeah.
And it's like, honey, the ship sank.
I think he wanted to tell her, but I completely understand. It was less about talking and him wanting to just say the last thing.
Olivia even struggles with this, but especially Ethan, you know, especially in evangelical terms, like, y'all, those people believe in the devil. They believe in evil. They believe, and so it's this
idea.
I believe in the evil. I don't know if I don't really believe in the devil, but there is this.
I've met the devil.
Okay. But there is this idea, though, that
I've met a devil with a big dick.
Woo. All right. But no, this idea, though, I just think when I heard this phrase, it as a people pleaser, it freed me up, because in a way they both are in their own way. But Ethan wants, he's like, it's okay to be the villain in someone else's story. And once you give yourself permission to, and I think that would help both of them if they would just say, you know what? This is going to end and someone's not going to like, Ethan's not going to like me or Olivia's not going to like me. And that's okay.
I think that's really hard for people to swallow.
It really is.
Being
it's hard
the villain
for anybody.
In someone's story.
Be the fucking villain. Now, so we will say that we have an epilogue. It's because of Mary Payne, Pink Shade's interview with Olivia. Cause I messaged Mary Payne about this. I was like, wait, I thought you told me she didn't sign. So there was a technical issue with their paperwork and they have to do it all again. So the papers have, as of like a month ago, the papers have not been signed for the divorce.
Jesus.
They probably tried to do it in a retrograde. Y'all don't get divorced in a retrograde.
I think
we're in it now.
I think there were more assets than they probably imagined.
Yeah.
With the show, other things.
They bought a house.
Well, I think there's also, there's also like kind of rights issues, like what so-and-so owns, maybe like a social media presence or something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's quite complicated. But none of that matters because we're back on the boat.
We're back on the boat with Moriah
and Kim. And we just did on the very beginning, making coffee on the charcoal.
Mm-hmm.
And Kim wants to know all about Ethan.
But nothing about Olivia because this.
What's
soon
interesting is
as Moriah brings her up.
Oh my God. When she said, yeah, I actually talked to Olivia, Kim's face froze.
She did. She's actually scared of her in a way.
Y'all, Kim thought she neutralized Olivia and that no one would ever want to deal with her again. And she's like, I'm surprised to hear that. We've all experienced enough hurt in dealing with Olivia.
And what a bitch.
And Dad, she's like, Dad and I called it playing ping pong. We chose to lay down the paddle. So brave.
Are putting your head in the sand.
And then now we're having Patty Smythe, sometimes love ain't enough. There's love enough. And then they talk about that. Kim did say something. Because I think they had to go through some type of marriage counseling. She says, love is an action.
When she said that, I went, okay.
Yeah. That was like the best thing she said. And that is something that Moriah could learn, I believe.
It is true. She's like, love, just letting someone know you love, it's through their actions. That's how you know. And Kim says, how are you doing? And Moriah goes, good. Life is hard sometimes. Always still a little
sad.
Why not
just elaborate? I will say, at one point, Kim, this is her trying to be Mother of the Year, reputation builder. And she's like, remember that night I drove from Tampa and we stayed up? And Kim does kind of tear up. She's really good at making herself cry. And so she must have left that either the married guy or what she won't even talk about it on the show, which to me, it's not that I feel like people owe it to us. I don't really believe that. I just don't think it should be really talked about unless we're going to elaborate.
I agree.
Do you know
what
I mean?
Don't bring it up. It's like someone who says, it's that person who says, well, Jimmy Ray told me something, but said I couldn't tell anybody.
It's the TV equivalent of vague booking on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I booked something, but I can't say. So excited.
You know who does that? You do that with secrets.
No, I don't.
You do too. You say, well, they said something, but never mind. And I'm like, what?
I can't, but I can't tell it. I want to say it. I want to say it. I usually wind up blurting it out later. Anyway, but y'all, she's writing an album, so it's all going to be fine.
It's going to be great.
Later on, because the charcoal's going to take too long.
They're going to go get coffee. So they go to a coffee shop.
I wrote down, this bitch drinks more coffee than the Gilmore Girls.
That's true.
I guess they couldn't drink it going up.
La, la, la.
Isn't it interesting that caffeine wasn't allowed? They only drank kombucha or soda wasn't allowed. Now they just drink coffee like motherfucking addicts.
They do. So they arrive at the coffee shop and Poodle, I think this is the best time to end this episode of Welcome to Plathville with a Plathville Theater introducing Moriah Underwood.
Underwood?
This bitch thinks she's going to be Carrie Underwood singing Before He Cheats. And it's not going to happen. Ain't happening.
No.
So, okay, picture it. Mom and daughter are sitting in a coffee shop, drinking a cup of coffee. And I'll be playing Kim. Poodle will be playing Moriah. Okay. And action.
Thanks for taking to get me have some coffee, Mom.
Oh, you're welcome, daughter. You're so welcome. I'm happy to be here.
That's a great
voice you're putting on there.
Well, I'm dumb, so I'm sound a little dumb. So,
yeah.
So what's been going on? What's been going on?
You know, I'm writing my new album, and I think I need your help because you're such a good dancer.
Yeah, you know, dancing and makeup, that is what I'm known for.
You're such a good dancer. I need your help with my choreography for my new music video. You know, I'm a dancer as well, but I think you're the perfect person.
Oh my God.
To do like a great style for my video. What are you thinking? It's like when you meet the devil and he's like dancing with you and taking your soul, but you still want to meet him in the night.
Oh, I love this concept. I love, what's the song called again? You told me Devil in a Suit and Tie.
Devil
you must have forgot.
Suit and Tie. Sorry. It's a very original concept.
So, okay, I get it.
What do you think? What are you seeing, Mom?
So you're in a bar and you're with that. Let me guess. You're with all your girlfriends.
Yeah, we're having a great time and we're kind of going wild because we don't need men.
And you're wearing like shirts that show your midriff and peak,
real sexy stuff.
Okay, great. Yeah. Oh, I know. So this is what you're gonna do. I'm picturing something like, you know, like burlesque. You know what that is, Mariah?
I was never allowed to see that movie.
Oh, okay.
But you didn't allow us. So keep going.
Okay, so I really think it'd be good for you. Take this really hot young guy that I'm happy to help you cast.
That feels sinful, but sure.
Want you to grab him by the tie, and then you're going to do a pirouette.
That's never been done before.
Yes, never. I want you to pirouette while holding the tie. So it's like it's like the guy's a ball and chain. Remember what your dad used to call me? But it's like now we're doing this to a guy.
That was great for me to see that growing up.
Yeah. You're going to throw him on the chair. And then you're going to
get rough
with him.
And
then you're going to, I want to make sure you don't get a pedicure for about 5 months. And then you're going to stick your foot up on this chair and just show your gnarly ass foot. See, here's mine.
God. That looks like the foot of an orc.
Oh, yeah. Right. Now, while your foot's up there in the chair,
that's been in the marina bathroom.
There's this new dance move, the sprinkler. I just want you to sprinkle him. Sprinkle him. You got what I mean?
Then do you grind up on him? Oh, my God.
Well, I'm not saying, yes, possibly. I think you could do if you want. I just learned about this other. If you want to take your foot down and like get back, and there's this called the Tootsie Roll. It's very popular.
Very
brand new. No one's ever done it. No one's ever done it. And
Mom,
then, yeah.
I think they're asking us
to
leave
in
this coffee shop. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I definitely want you to be in it.
I can play you and lip sing you. And then you can just, this last part, I just want you to take his head and just shove it in your tits and go, yeah.
Mom, they're definitely asking us to leave this coffee shop. We've made a spectacle.
Okay.
It's like,
all right.
Let's go back to the boat.
There's no lights. It's dark.
And scene.
Oh, this is so stupid. I love it when she's like, "Can you help me choreograph my video?" She's probably going to, Mama Plath gets like a megaphone, like old style, like she's fucking Busby Berkeley.
Fucking dance, Mama.
That's
your episode of Welcome to Plathville, y'all. We hope you enjoyed it. Also this week, because we're recording it after this, 90 Day UK, the tell-all, we did do a quick little, and that is where you will hear Poodle's weekly Big Brother corner, because we forgot to do it.
We didn't do it on
toe.
Yeah.
So we're going to do it on this one. All right, everybody. That is welcome. Great season. We'll see you next week. And until then, we want you to remember when you're doing your kickball change or your house party kick.
Great line.
Roger Rabbit. Roger Rabbit. What do you say, Poodle?
What do you think?
Fuck the Plaths.
Fuck the Plaths.
Fuck 'em.